great. I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's no problem.
Thanks. And, of course, thank you for your service as well. I really have a lot of respect as a journalist myself for combat correspondents. I was actually just talking with a Marine who's headed over to Helmand Province to, you know, relay the story back from there. And I just really appreciate everything you guys do. And I know you had a prior deployment yourself, so thanks for your service.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Great, great. Well, if you don't mind, could I just start off by getting your age and where you are currently based and where you're from?
Okay. My age is, I'm 29. I'm currently based in Fort Worth, Texas, at the 8th Marine Corps District.
Okay.
And
where are you from?
I'm from Oceanside, California.
Great, great. Well, I remember watching the YouTube video at the time when you invited Betty White and then getting the interview opportunity to talk with you. It's always great to do a fun story like this. So tell me about what it was like to meet Linda Hamilton and take her to the Marine Corps ball.
Yeah, one moment. Hello, sir?
Yes.
Yes, I had to move on to my office because it was getting loud. But say again on that question?
Yeah, no problem, no problem. I was just wondering, just a place to start off. I watched the YouTube video when you invited Betty White. I thought that was some pretty classic stuff. And then you got to go with Linda Hamilton. So could you tell me a little bit about what it was like to meet her and what the Marine Corps ball was like?
It was great. It was really unbelievable. It was kind of like a surreal experience because I stayed in contact up until the ball. So I was, of course, running with her back and forth on email or text message or phone. And trying to get here, and then when I got here, I picked her up from the airport, which was crazy. You know, just to, you know, it's like Linda Hamilton's right there, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm here. You can pick me up." And so I pull up to the side of the road there where the airport is, and you know, I opened the door for her and put her in my car, and then I take her to the her hotel where she's staying, where the ball was, and everything, and. It was a crazy experience for me. I still couldn't believe it, just seeing her right there, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool. Were you, I'm assuming you had seen the Terminator movies beforehand. You know, when I even see her, I think of Sarah Connor, of course. So it must have been strange. How did some of the other Marines react at the ball? I'm sure there were some great stories.
Yeah, they're very, like... A lot of them were like, "Hey, is that Sarah Connor?" Or some people will come to me and be like, Linda Hamilton's right there. She's in the hotel." And I was like, "I see her because I had already dropped her off, like I said." But people just couldn't believe that she's just walking around in the hotel, you know, because she wanted just experience and be, you know, just kind of like be normal. She's really down to earth. She's really down to earth kind of person, so she liked to do things on her own. So she wanted to go about, you know, just walk around and stuff like that. And it's in Texas, it's a little bit different, so it's not like a, you know, a media frenzy around her and stuff like that. So she got to relax in Texas and walk around in the hotel and just experience and watch the Marines practice because when she first came, we were doing a practice for the ball before the ceremony. So we're, you know. Doing our rifle thing, doing our color guard thing.
Cool, cool. What kind of stuff did the two of you get to talk about? I'm sure you had a lot of questions for her about what it was like to be an actress in Hollywood, and I'm sure she had a lot of questions for you about what it was like to, deploy to Iraq and serve our country.
Well, it was kind of cool because a lot of our conversation after she got to Texas was just like I'm a regular person, you know, real down to earth. We talked about, you know, interest, what she likes to do, you know, she likes to read, she likes to, you know, work in her garden and stuff like that, just do normal people things, you know. And, you know, I told her what I like to do. I like to do music and stuff like that, you know, to de-stress and stuff. So it was definitely cool to talk to her on like a normal level and not talk so much about, you know, either, you know, the Marine side so much on me or like the actress part on her. It was just like, hey, you know, I want to get to know you kind of thing. So
that's great.
It was cool.
Yeah, definitely. And the best part is, you know, she had you to protect her when the Terminator came looking for her. So
yeah, because I mean, I thought it was rare that a lot of people don't get to, you know, ask those kind of questions or get to know somebody on that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just
yeah.
kind of like talk to them on, you know, about different things. And you know, we got to talk a lot while she was here because she was here for about a total of 3 days. So
great. That's really awesome of her to do that, and glad you guys had such a great time. If you don't mind me asking, just I'd like to get a little background. I always love talking to someone who's served our country. You know, Beth, when did you join the Marine Corps, and what were some of your reasons for joining?
I joined the Marine Corps in August 2004, on the 24th of August 2004, because basically, I was working at Taco Bell, also going to school full time to be a computer-aided drafter. So I was going there, and I was going to school, which is kind of crazy and ironic just to think of that. My instructor, he was a Marine at the time, but at the time I knew nothing about Marines. So like right out of high school, worked for Taco Bell, started going to college a little bit. Full time, and my instructor was a Marine, and his attention to detail and just his professionalism and stuff like that's always going to stick with me. So then I'm always going to remember. And but that wasn't necessarily the reason why I joined. After I got my degree, for some reason I couldn't find a job. A lot of places I went, they said I was overqualified right after I graduated. So I was kind of discouraged. Still working at Taco Bell, I eventually made vendor working there. But I just got in like a little, you know, I felt like I was kind of like at rock bottom, kind of like I flatlined. I didn't really think that I was being successful to my highest possibility. And at the time, I wanted to be, you know, in the entertainment business, and I wanted to be a rapper. But it just wasn't the thing for me now that I look back on it. But since I felt at rock bottom, and then after 9/11 happened and stuff like that, I went in the recruiter's office. I didn't go because of 9/11, but I thought, you know, hey, I'm definitely going to war. I will be going to war because, you know, I joined after 9/11. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was like, oh, I don't care really if, you know, anything happens to me because, you know, I'm kind of at rock bottom. Then I went home and I told my mom that I joined the Marines, I signed up for the Marines. My mom was very upset. She's like, well, why'd you do that? You know, you're too smart for that to join the Marines and get an open contract, because I got an open contract. And she thought open contract meant I was going to be an infantryman. And that was in the days that my mom knew the Marine Corps, because my dad was a Marine. Every male in my family was a Marine. So when my dad, when I came home and said open contract, she immediately thought, wow, my baby's going to war. Mm-hmm. And so she got mad. So she said, you're too smart to be, you know, just an infantryman. You need to go, you know, you went to college and all that. You graduated school. You need to go back and you need to ask for a real job. So I go back and I ask for a real job, so to speak, for what she said. And I said, hey, I don't want to be an open contract. I want to, you know, have a different job. And she's like, okay. My recruiter was frustrated because I'm pretty sure she put all the paperwork through and everything. So she had to make some change. She's like, so what did you want? And I was like, I don't know, something in entertainment. And so now that I look about that, it sounds so funny. But so she's like, I got you public affairs. Now get out of my office. because it's crazy because now I work for the headquarters of the recruiting command, and I see what recruiters go through. So I was basically giving her a hard time at the time. But she pulled strings to get me that job. And in public affairs. And since then, I've met a string of famous people, including Linda Hamilton, and I feel very blessed to have those kind of opportunities and be able to serve my country at the same time. I've had lots of good experiences. So that's how I came to the Marine Corps.
Yep. That's a long way from Taco Bell. That's awesome.
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about, being a combat correspondent and about your deployment to Iraq?
I deployed to Afghanistan also, just to let you know.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Okay.
No problem. What do you, basically being a combat correspondent, my deployment to Iraq, I didn't know what to expect. It was almost immediately after school, so I joined the Marine Corps in 2004. I went through basic training. I went to Marine Corps combat training. And this is all in California, and I grew up in Oceanside, California. So all this training I'm taking close to where I grew up at. So a lot of the drill instructors, and I didn't know how they knew, but, they're just looking in my record book. They're like, why don't you just go home? Why don't you just give up? You live right there. And I was just like, man, they're really getting inside my mind. I don't know if I want to stay, stuff like that. But anyway, I ended up getting through that. I went to the photojournalism school in Fort Meade, Maryland, completed that, and after I got there in 2005, I began to work up to deploy to Iraq with an infantry battalion, 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines, out of Camp Lejeune. But the workups were in 29 Palms, California, so I was out there, sweating it out, and then after I finished the Mojave Viper, that training, then I went to Camp Lejeune and I stayed there for about a year, including my deployment. So I was attached to that unit for about a year. So I stayed over in Iraq about 7 months, and then the duration of the time was, work ups and work down. So I went to Iraq, and I was a combat correspondent. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, what's going on. Really, everything was surreal to me. I didn't think it was real. It doesn't really get real till people die and they pass away, and you realize that the people aren't there anymore, because it's a part of war, and a lot of our job is to tell the Marine Corps story, because sometimes me as a reporter, I might be the last one to tell their story, to carry on their legacy. That's why it's so important that combat correspondents go over there, because it's a part of war that some of those people might not come back, and it's our job to tell their story, and so they live on through the stories that we tell. So I was very, very much changed by my deployment in Iraq. Seeing war and casualties and stuff like that, and also seeing the part where there's one time where I was patrolling, and as a photojournalist, you have a whole bunch of gear. Mm-hmm. You have cameras, backpack, pens, pencils, and all of that. And on top, that's packed on top of your flak jacket and your helmet and all of that. So I'm the most visible person in the patrol. And a lot of times, since I'm the new guy or I'm a reporter attached to a unit, sometimes they like to make me go first or get out and foot patrol and stuff like that, and, and say, hey, get out there, get some action camera guys, stuff like that. So I would go out there. And the kids would, come up to me, ask me for candy or pencils or whatever. But this time, instead of asking for candy or pencils, the Iraqi kids, they asked for water. And that was a life-changing experience, because at the time it was around holiday time. And I had little brothers and they have friends and stuff like that. And at the time they're asking for Xboxes and toys and all of that. And on the flip side, on the other side of the world, in Iraq, they're asking for water, just drinkable water, because the river was contaminated from, whatever was in there. So dead animals, bodies, whatever it may have been. So I would say that was a life-changing experience.
That's amazing.
I was like, wow. I was just like, wow. They're coming up to me asking me for water. It just taught me not to take things for granted and to live life to its full potential, and to live every day, to the fullest, try to live a good life. So it really changed my life, and as well as my mentality, and telling the Marine Corps story and how important my job is, even though I'm not at the front of the fight, so to speak. I'm not, you know, the infantryman. I'm not there for the glory. I'm there to, you know, shine the light on those infantrymen, that the good job that they're doing out there, you know, when they're patrolling, when they're, you know, doing humanitarian operations, when they're doing a lot of the stuff that isn't seen because the media isn't focused on it, you know, 24/7. While we speak right now, there are Marines out there patrolling just to make sure, you know, we set an example and set a standard so they don't come over here and attack us, you know, and so we have the freedom to speak or talk or to, you know, go on ball days with Linda Hamilton, stuff like that. You know, when I start to take things for granted, I think about that. I'm like, hey, you know, regardless of what's happening over here, 24/7, there's somebody on watch over there watching mm-hmm. us. So that's the kind of experience that I got over there, you know.
That's amazing.
I wouldn't focus on the, you know, the sad aspect of war more so, but just more so the life-changing experiences that I had, far as, you know, the kids coming up to me asking me for water and you know, telling the Marine Corps story.
Wow, that's something, and I couldn't agree more with you, especially about that 24/7 you know, news cycle back here, and how a lot of people forget that you know, those men and women are out risking their lives. So appreciate you pointing that out. What were when you went to Afghanistan? What were some of the differences or similarities between deploying to Afghanistan and Iraq?
It was both hot. Both Afghanistan and Iraq are hot. Afghanistan was hotter than me. It was like upward 140.
Wow.
And that's on top of gear. So when you go outside, you want to go back inside because you get the sun like drains you. You get sleepy. You totally get sleepy, and you can't handle it. So,
are you good, sir?
All right, sir. Yeah. There's one of my bosses that walked by. Excuse me.
No problem.
But the difference and similarities, like the similarities, like I said, they were both high. There's both people in both places. There's people there where they need help, or they're oppressed by a certain, you know, terrorist or individual that are over there, and they need help, and they're just trying to live day to day, you know. And a lot of people, you know, they go by what they see on the media and the news and stuff like that, and don't realize that there's people out there who need help, and they're just trying to survive out there. A lot of them live in tents out in the desert. You know, they live very primitive, but they're people like you and me. They're very intelligent, hardworking people that just want to live life and provide for their family, and that's all they want to do. They don't want to, you know, get in any trouble. And then, unfortunately, you know, in both places, there's, you know, bad guys out there that need to be taken care of, and because of those people there. We want to protect those people. So we're out there in both places. We're out there patrolling and making sure that those bad guys didn't mess with the people who just want to live their lives. And we're trying to, you know, put a wedge in between that, you know, go on with the Marine Corps' mission, win battles, you know, part of the Marine Corps' mission, make Marines win battles and then provide quality citizens. Like, that's what we want to do. We want to go in there and just help the people. Everything's about the people. And that's what the similar missions on both sides. But the difference is, I would say, Afghanistan, there's more space. There's a lot more space. So it's a lot more desert, a lot more room. It's a different area. Far as like a lot of demographics or any specifics, as a CC, I can tell you that I traveled a lot, you know, like helicopters and stuff like that. And I went out there and, you know, I took pictures of a lot of humanitarian operations and stuff like that in Afghanistan. In Iraq, it was like the end of the Saddam era. So I was out there, you know, patrolling in Humvees and walking on foot and trying to tell the Marine Corps story that way. So
okay,
it was just more space. But as far as, like, you know, I can only speak from the combat correspondent side of, you know, I was in a helicopter and I was doing more. I had to travel more in Afghanistan, but in Iraq, it was more, you know, it was closer and it was tighter together, and that was it on that one. So
really interesting stuff. And when you were, you know, working at Taco Bell, then you were, you know, in a Humvee in Iraq, or you were in a helicopter in Afghanistan. I bet you never thought you would be headed home and going on a date with Linda Hamilton. So.
No, not at all. It's crazy to me. It's really crazy to me. It really is, because it wasn't. I think I was more, like, overwhelmed by the media attention that was drawn from the YouTube video, because after I made the Betty White video, and Betty White couldn't do it because she had other schedule conflicts, I was like, I'm good, you know, no more media is going to call me, you know, because they were very persistent trying to get the story, and I was like, okay, nobody's going to call me anymore, and then, bam, like, not too long after that, Linda Hamilton, she gets on YouTube and says, hey, Ray, you know, I know that you wanted to go to Betty White, but I'm the next best thing. And, you know, she goes on about how she's funny and she's not as old as her, but we can still have a good time. And she is funny. She's really funny. Like, she's a trip.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'm going to put this up on my blog. It's unknownsoldiersblog.com, and you know, I do a lot of very serious stories, you know, about some of the tragic things we discuss. But it's going to be nice to write about you know, something good happening to a Marine, and deservedly so. And I appreciate your service, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the service of all your fellow Marines, and happy birthday to the Marine Corps tomorrow. And
thank you, sir.
I hope you get to read this story, and thanks a lot. I'm also going to go on and look at some of the, you know, the photos you've taken overseas as well. So thank you.
Yeah, feel free to take those and use them and all of that. So
I appreciate it. Well, you take care of yourself, Sergeant Lewis, and thanks again.
Oh, thank you, sir. One more thing. Yeah, just sure. As far as the a lot of the, you know, the Iraq stuff, I just want you to focus on, if you could, focus on, like, more so the, you know, the positive aspect, not so much of, you know, the casualty part, just more
Absolutely.
The positive aspect of that, because I don't think that's the focus of the story. I think it's more so, you know, that we're doing good stuff over there. Like just like how you said, that, you know, no matter, you know, what we're doing over here 24/7, there's a Marine protecting us. More so that aspect, because I think that's the most important thing. People take that for granted. You know, a lot of people try to focus on that, but I think that that's the most important thing. And then also the fact that, you know, it's our job to tell, you know, the Marine Corps story of a Marine, because especially the infantrymen, because we never know, you know, if they're going to come back, and we need to tell the story of heroics of them. So.
I couldn't agree more. And if you get a chance, to go to the blog, check out a story about Corporal Reese Slaughter, who, he's the Marine I mentioned, who he actually trained in Mojave as well, and he just is heading over to Helmand Province, but got to write an article about him, and you might be interested in checking that out. And he had a lot of
awesome,
great things to say as well about being a combat correspondent, a lot of the same things you're mentioning as well, but thanks so much. I really appreciate it, and hope you get to check it out.
Thank you, sir. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.